Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Say.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care. Headed my way for another place, and I got three good times.
Right to the hook, right?
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in, I mean, might as well be the Sahara Desert, southern middle Tennessee. And welcome, you bunch of low lifers. This is the podcast for Monday, June 27th, 2022. And we almost to that, my favorite time of year, which is my birthday, America's birthday. I look for any reason to celebrate, and there will be celebrations galore. My birthday's on, I sound like a little boy, my birthday's on July the 3rd. I was almost a firecracker, is what my mom always said. And so not turning 40 this year, though, not turning 40. I'm the big 3-9. So next year's celebration will be a lot more dramatic, traumatic, and explosive next year here in southern middle Tennessee. But appreciate all you low-lifers tuning in. Appreciate all the kind feedback. I want to start the show about, A, the song that I played at the end of the show last week that really meant a lot to me, that a lot of people enjoyed that. And then, B, the Stephen Browning interview overall. People just seem to really enjoy that as much as I did. And that's what I try to do with the show. More and more as I get further into this, as I try to do things that I enjoy and that I hope you'll enjoy as well, conversations I like to have with people, and today will be no different. So I thank you for that. I love the in-person interviews. I've got some plans for next year to kind of take that up a notch, and I will give up a little bit more of that as time goes on. I'm laying the pieces in there right now, but I've got an idea that I think could be really, really entertaining series that I would like to do, entertaining for myself, and hopefully you guys would enjoy as well. So thank you for the kind words on that. Getting out of this ridiculous June heat that's more like August right now in Tennessee, me and the boys are loading up. I'm recording this a couple days early, and we are headed up to Wisconsin right before the next MPFL event, which is over on Saginaw Bay. But I'll be in the studio in Wisconsin, so I'm taking the boys with me. I got camping gear loaded up in the truck, got the Express ready to go, and we are going smallmouth fishing. Whatever happens, happens fishing. I don't know. We may end up on some of the largemouth lake. We're just going north. We're going north. We got a campground rented out up there, camp spot, and we're just going to be some fishing gypsies for 3 or 4 days leading up to the next MPFL. So really excited about that. Y'all know how much y'all send me posts about fishing with the boys. It's my favorite thing that I get to do these days, and it's just taking them to new places. Any of you dads listening, you know that experiencing new things with your kids is just always so special. But especially in the outdoors, when it's something that, you know, you collectively share a passion for, it is so fun seeing them light up, you know, their first experiences going places. So and this will be a new place for me as well. So going to be in that Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin area, and trying to get some of them biggie smalls up there. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to that for the next MPFL. All right, I got to thank these sponsors real fast. Real fast. Startron Starbright, kicking ethanol in the teeth, getting that ethanol right out of your fuel tank, in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, in your lawnmower. If you're like me, I like all that stuff to stay broken because I would rather sit by the pool and maybe have a nice cerveza instead of doing all that kind of manual labor garbage when it's 1,000 degrees outside. But Startron, if you maybe you're going to take a break and you want to go back and crank that stuff up later, Startron will keep ethanol from gumming up the works. But most importantly, it's going to keep it out of your outboard engine. Little dab will do you. They sell this stuff basically everywhere. Tell them we sent you. You can shake it or not. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth and bringing you low budget live for 5 years now. We appreciate the folks at StarTron. Pro Guide Batteries, fixing to put them through the paces yet again up there in that North Country, in that big water. But Pro Guide Batteries making the awesome lithium series now, the 31 series AGMs that I ran last year as trolling motor batteries for part of the year, and as my cranking battery, still rocking the 31 AGM as a cranking battery. Fantastic batteries. I've had zero issues. Go to ProGuideBatteries.com. You can use code LBL10. They got chargers on there. They've got several accessories, but they've got all the size batteries you need for your boat. They're very helpful, and you can use code LBL10 to tell them you're a low lifer when you get there. Thank y'all. All right, baitworks.com. I made me a big Baitworks order before I go up north. I got me some of these Brandon Polinick little smallie baits, little X-Zone lures. Going to try to see. I've got a lot of different smallie baits lined up. Of course, you got flatworms, and they really smash because I caught them on a flatworm last year really good up there that part of the world. But some of the X-Zone stuff's really cool. Some of the net bait stuff's really cool right now, little drop shot baits. So I've got a lot of that. Ordered me some up from Baitworks. Going to test it out on those smallies. I made a post this week. They got the David Allen, the True Bass Lure Shuttlecock hair jig back in stock. I'm not sure if they're still in stock because I know I saw a lot of notifications from orders after I made a post. But those things are selling like hotcakes. Get you some. Try them out. It's a really fun way to fish. But you can use code Duncan-10 at baitworks.com to save you a little coin there. They got all your smallie needs lined up. They got your deep water needs lined up right now. If you're in the south sweating it out, dragging out there on them ledges, they got everything in stock ready to go. So baitworks.com. Duncan-10. Thank y'all for doing that. And last but not least, the Old Express, the official boat of Low Budget Live and the traveling Circus, the Express X21 Pro, and we're fixing to get that new bad boy in very, very soon. I saw pictures yesterday, a little teaser, the sea deck going on the new ride. But one last voyage in the Express X21 with the boys. We're going up there fishing in it. It is sold, got a deposit on it, and going to deliver that here in a couple weeks to the new excited owner. And I hate to see her go because it's been a fantastic, fantastic ride. But we're gonna go on one more fishing trip with it, and thought this trip would be in the new boat, but had a couple little snags holding us up. Man, it's just so hard to get everything right now. Y'all know that. It's a very wild time in our country, to say the least, especially sourcing-wise for some of these boat companies and fishing companies. You know, lots of shortages. So been waiting on a few things, but we're getting her dialed up and ready to go. So can't thank Express enough. Can't thank Yamaha enough. Absolutely love the 250 show. And that new one just looks absolutely mean. We'll be doing some walkthrough videos on the new one very soon. Express boats building excitement since 1966. Good peoples there at Express Boats. Y'all know that I like that. All right, moving on. Something that last week I did not get an opportunity to mention, because of the timing of when I recorded. You know, I did the Stephen Browning interview when I was out in Arkansas, and then I closed out the show here in the Bar and Grill. And the James River FLW event had not ended yet, but I wanted to say a huge congrats, Nick LeBron James, for winning back-to-back FLW, MLFLW Pro Circuits. That is, to me, it's like the hardest trail in pro fishing, if one of, anyways. I mean, it's ridiculous with the field size, with the talent of the field. It's always been a very difficult trail to do well in. So to win two with this wonky format where they go zero on the last day, man, that's tough because it's anybody's ball game. It's a crapshoot on that last day, you know, and he certainly came out on top of that in a positive light. The last two events, there are always guys that get kind of left left out of that. We saw that with that Nick Hatfield down at Gunnersville, who just, you know, his overall weight was more than Nick's. But still, it's the rules of engagement, and Nick has won two back-to-back events. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy, great human being. He's having a hell of a year, man. You look at his stats. You look back, Bassmaster Opens, narrowly missed making the Elite Series. He won an event there at Grand Lake. He almost won an event at Smith Lake there top 10 did as well. Then $1,000 goes to the Classic. Like he's Nick's having a he's having himself a year and has been for a while, right? He's been on his year run for about five now, I believe. But you know, won with the BFL All-American, has mixed it up in several of those pro circuits. But great guy. So congrats to him. He's also 10th in the AOI. I was checking that out because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. What are they going to do in the Bass Pro Tour? You know, last year they had several guys double qualify, but this year it looks like out of that top 10 AOI, there are only eight. There are eight pro circuit guys in the top 10 going in the final event, two Bass Pro Tour guys. So if it ended today, the way they explained it last year is those two Bass Pro Tour bids would go back to Bass Pro Tour anglers, so they don't get bumped out, but then they got eight other spots. So you look down in points, like, I know Tim Horton's retiring, but I mean, is Boyd Duckett gonna give it up? Is Gary Klein gonna give it up? Because they down there, you know, that's gonna be it's gonna be like, I mean, they gonna let Nick LeBron James in there and Boyd go to the house. We'll see. I've said for a long time, I feel like Gary and Boyd are about done anyways. I may be very wrong with that. I have no personal info to say whether or not they would be. But I think that, you know, focusing on running a business, it ain't easy. And being out there and trying to mix it up with everybody. It's hard to beat Jacob Wheeler when you're trying to run the league also. And I think that's always been kind of a major conflict of interest. You know, the dude, you're fishing against the dude that owns the league, right? So it's tricky, but we'll see. I haven't looked down the entire standings, but I know I feel like there's going to be some interesting decisions made after that all wraps up at Champlain, I believe is where they end. But something else I noticed, John Cox, ladies and gentlemen, Cox Watch. One more time. John Cox is in the top 10 in the pro circuit points and second in the Angler of the Year of the Bassmaster Elite Series. I didn't realize, I mean, I knew he was having a good year over there. I knew he made he's just catches them all the time. He's in top 10 in points in both. Like, I just can't. That's a head scratcher. He's incredible. And I read an article my buddy Guck did. Shout out Guck, Alan McGuckin, with Cox on Bassmaster.com yesterday, stating he had not caught a bass deeper than 4 feet of water all year. 4 feet of water all year. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool being John Cox in life. So, one more time. Cox Watch. My man is top 10 in both Angler of the Year. So it's impressive, man. It's more than impressive. Like, it's just, it's mind-blowing stuff. Mind-blowing stuff. So congrats to John on that. Something else that I read on the Bassmaster website yesterday. Sad news. Very sad news. And Chad Morgan Taylor moving on to the next phase of his life. He's going to not ride out the rest of the year with the elites, and he's done. And you know, that is a when I stepped away from the tour, I had not been doing it as long as Chad and had not had the successful fishing career as Chad. Of course, a lot of irons in the fire and family and things like that led to my decision to no longer fish with FLW, you know, and I didn't necessarily agree with the direction they were headed with the MLF buyout and all that. That's all well documented, but it's a difficult video to make. It's a difficult article to write. It's a difficult post to make, that you're leaving the sport that you love and not competing at that level anymore. And Chad, I read that yesterday. I want to wish him the best of luck. I like Chad. He's a good guy, great angler, and he had a successful career. This is what Stephen and I, and this is why I bring this up, Stephen Browning and I, this is what we talked about. Some of these guys, they just fade out. They just fade out. There are these names. We were talking about it before we went on air last week. Some of the greatest names that we knew, especially Arkansas guys in particular, is what we were talking about, that were just big names for just a fleeting moment in time in the sport of fishing. And then for whatever reason, mainly the cost of it, right? They just fade out. They fade out. And Chad's no different in that. He was a big, solid name in the sport of fishing, made multiple Bassmaster Classics, had multiple wins, competed at, you know, on the FLW side of things. He competed in the elites. He competed in Toyota's, Bassmaster Opens, you name it. I mean, the guy was a fish catcher and in his time. And it's crazy. Well, he's not going to fish the elites anymore. So he's given that up. And And with the, I think that, you know, he said he was going to do this next year. I think with the cost of everything, it's accelerating those decisions. So my question is, and y'all can comment what you think, but this is already a ridiculously expensive sport. We know that. Entry fees, it's crazy. We've talked about it the last couple of weeks. It's very expensive. And now you throw this $17 a gallon gas on top of it. Northern Swing's coming up for the MPFL, for the Pro Circuit, for BPT, for the Bassmaster Elites. They're going to South Dakota. How's this going to, if you don't have a plan and you didn't see this coming, and so many of us didn't, and you're just kind of trying to make it like you always do, I think we could see a lot of turnover at the end of this year. And I don't want to be negative Nancy on that. I hope that's not the case. But, man, whew, it's a scary, scary time in our industry with gas the way it is, the price of everything the way it is, and it's already a pay-to-play sport. I think we're I don't know. I think next year could be very interesting. I really do, for a lot of organizations, all the organizations and all the anglers. I really do. Heard news this week that the RV industry's really slowed down, laying off a lot of folks up in Indiana. Got word on that from some friends of mine that are in that business. And when we saw things really crash out in 2008, that's kind of where it started. And when I mean crash out, the marine and fishing industry, when it really kind of had a recession, that's where it started. And so it's definitely starting to affect folks. Now, if you guys are like me, you're around your local lakes, it don't look like gas is $5 a gallon. People are out there. They're in their wakeboard boats, jet skis, bass, but people are fishing. There's a 450 freaking boat high school tournament on Pickwick right now as I speak. I mean, people are out on the water, but I just wonder when you can't afford to go to work, how you're going to be able to afford to go to the lake and how you're going to be able to afford to play, you know, a lot more in expenses to go to a tournament, you know, especially for Southern guys going up north. I don't think this will be the last guy we see. And I think Chad, this has been a plan of Chad Morgan Taylor to go back to that. I don't think gas prices are the sole reason he's leaving the Elite Series. He's got a new business venture he's getting into, a lot of different things. But I certainly think that that's going to – I know it's affected some guys with MPFL. I know it's going to continue to affect some guys with MPFL. I know it's going to affect – you look at the numbers, the fall-off going into Champlain for the Pro Circuit. I'm not sure about the Elites, but, you know, with MPFL, we got three events left halfway through the year, and we go into, almost November down in Florida. So will the gas prices get better by then? God, I hope. But – Things are crazy out there, but that's just kind of like a open forum discussion I wanted to throw out there. Do you think we'll see some guys, and I'm talking about guys at that level, the Elite Series, Pro Circuit, MPFL, paying those high entry fees up there in that level, will we see guys not finish out the season? That's what I'm talking about. Not Toyotas and Opens, because listen, I'll just tell you straight up, And I'm very fortunate to make a great living and in this industry, and I love it. But gas don't come down by October. You might not see your boy at Lake Hartwell. I don't know. If it's $8 a gallon, you know, I'm not sure. That being said, I'm going to Wisconsin full bore, baby. Full bore this week before it gets any more expensive. But because I'm like you guys, I'm going to go fishing. But, yeah, there's lots of decisions to be made. Lots of decisions to be made for a lot of folks, man. It's just cost of living is just crazy right now. All right, speaking of MPFL, off the negative, this, because this man is very positive. He's very positive. And when I first started MPFL, you know, I like so many of you, didn't know a lot of our anglers. And as I get to know them more and more through events, I have people that I'm very interested in, and I do my best to get them on here, and I've got a long list. You guys don't even want to see into my brain of list of guests, potential guests that I want to have on. But this guy popped into my head this week, and he's somebody that I've wanted to have on that I find very intriguing and for many reasons. And he's relevant to the conversation right now because he's in second place behind Timmy Reams. He's in second place in our Progressive Angler of the Year there at the MPFL and was at the bottom of it last year or three quarters of the way down. Okay. But this man, this is an impressive stat. This man has won over 30 professional events, fishing events, okay? Multiple Angler of the Years. And sits in second place right now in the Progressive Angler of the Year. We're going to get him on the phone right now. Now, those events weren't bass fishing events. They were crappie events. And we're going to get him on the phone. The crappie king himself, Kevin Rogers.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Crappie King. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're gonna try to change that name this year, aren't we? We're trying to go from Crappie King to Bass King. We're trying.
Man, I'm trying hard. And I tell you what, it's the most difficult thing I've done so far. So yeah, but I'm trying.
That's what, you know, when I was setting this up, I said there are people that I meet, you know, especially with MPFL, a lot of the anglers I didn't know coming into last year. And you were a guy that I met you at UFall at the very first event, and I was immediately intrigued, and I thought you were a great guy, and I liked talking with you. We covered you on live. You love to teach. You're excellent with live scope. But you had a rocky road last year.
I sucked.
I didn't say it. I'll never say that about anybody. This sport's very difficult.
I sucked, and the crappie world loved that I sucked, and so now I got to prove them wrong, you know? I was trying to do too much. I was trying to be everything, right? I was trying to do everything, and I didn't know what I was, right? I've been a crappie fisherman for, you know, my whole life, went in tournaments all over the country, and always been a huge bass guy, always, like, ate up with bass fishing, like, the biggest fan of bass fishing in the world, and my dad retired from tournament crappie fishing. He was my partner. I thought, man, this is my chance. I need to do this before I'm so old I can't even do it anymore. So, and I just went out and I did too much. I was just overthinking it instead of fishing. That sounds silly, doesn't it? I think a lot of us probably do that.
No, it's a mental game. It's a mental game. Yeah, it's a mental game. Sure. And I think that the thing that separates, especially like getting to do MPFL Live now and getting that inside look at what goes on a full day for so many different anglers with cameras, it is that fine line. It's the guys that spin out versus the ones that make the right decisions. And because everybody gets in the right areas for the most part. Everybody's got the skill level casting. Everybody's got live scope. Everybody's got great boats. They got great tackle. And it comes down to decision making, and that whether that's BPT, Elite Series, Pro Circuit, MPFL, whatever, opens your Saturday tournament, whatever. That's what it comes down to more times than anything. It's just decisions. So last year you also had some bad luck. Last year you had a trolling motor explode.
I had my live well.
Yes.
Flew out of my
Where was
boat
that? Was that UFALA?
That was UFALA. Yeah. Punched right in the gut when you get there. I got five. I know I have five. No, you have four. So, yeah, I just, it was a hot mess express. And here's the, in one year, last year, I would be fishing and I would think, there is no way in the heck I'm going to catch five bass. This year, it's never crossed my mind. Not one time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm just fishing. I'm fishing. I'm learning. I'm just going fishing, you know, and not trying to be everybody, you know. I'm not going to go behind Keith Carson and throw a chatterbait and catch him. I need to do what I am really good at. I'm really good at live scope. I need to find them on live scope to catch them is what I've learned. I can read my electronics really good, and now I just got to figure out how to make those fish.
So that was going to be my question. Are you, because I see you, you know, following you on social, you put in the work as much as anybody I know. You're out there. I mean, I saw you this winter, especially really, really working on your game. And because you don't strike me as a guy, you're a very successful guy, and you don't strike me as a guy that can, that likes taking a butt kicking at all. And I could see it on your face last year. And I told Fat Cat, and he has said the same multiple times. I'm like, Kevin Rogers ain't coming back out here next year donating. Like, you better be ready. No. He's going to figure it out because you're too good of an angler. And it does translate, right? Like, angling success, whether it is you're in the saltwater world, whether the techniques may be different at times, but having that success at that crappie level and winning so many events and being confident in yourself, it does translate to the bass world.
Sure. I mean, you're still on a lake. You're still using the same, you know, all of the same gear, the same boat, same electronics, but they're two different fish.
Yes,
right?
For sure.
So, we won 34 crappie tournaments and major crappie tournaments in five different states in our career. I'm used to going to new bodies of water that I've never seen before. And that's my favorite thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
I tell everyone, tournament fishing to me is honestly an excuse to go to a new body of water.
Yeah.
Right? I would never pick up my stuff and drive to Saginaw Bay, Michigan, right? I'd be scared to death. I wouldn't want to do it. And this is forcing me to do it. And I can't wait to get there.
So yeah.
The experience of tournament fishing is just as good as getting a check to me. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'm ate up with it for sure.
And
yeah, the success, not last year, not having the success. My wife was looking at me like, what? Who is this guy? Right? That's not I pride myself of being successful in everything I try to touch. And last year was it was an ass kicking, and
yeah,
it woke me up.
It.
And I'm one of those guys on the way home. It feels when you do bad in a tournament, I want to go out the next day and figure out why I did so bad. Right? That's most anglers in the world for sure.
Yeah. I had Stephen Browning on last week. We were talking, and that was something that he blew me away talking about, that the young guys he competes against on the Bass Pro Tour, the Jordan Lees and the Jacob Wheelers, who are obviously veterans, but are a lot younger than Steven. He said, man, when they have a bad one, they stay for like 3 days after the tournament trying to figure out where it went wrong. So when next time they go there, and that is a very hard thing to compete with. It is, but
yeah, absolutely.
But that drive, it's awesome to hear you say that you have that drive, because man, you've got a great life, great family, great career outside of fishing. So it would be easy to be complacent, but man, I love that drive, that grind that you have, and to see it this year. And Fat Cat has a man crush on you. I would just like to say that.
I love that. Right?
He does. Like that's my number one thing to give him a hard time about in the studio, because he just turns red. It's like, oh, Kevin Rogers, every time your name pops up. And I'm like, what is, did he pay you? What's the deal here?
Right. No, I'm definitely a person. I don't need to be fishing this, right? I can live the rest of my life and be this fly, but that's not who I am. I have to find something that I suck at and try to get better. That's
I
am, you know? So I'm just that guy. I can't sit at home. I can't watch TV. I can't sit still. You know, I'm hyper as all get out. I'm 50 next week and I'm running around like I'm 30 still. So this off season, I went and took care of my health. I did a bunch of things. I went and got stem cells in my knees and PRP therapy. And I did all this stuff just so I could stand in the boat all day and fish.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely, it's for yourself, right? It's rewarding when you can get a check in a tournament and say, okay, all right.
That's how you keep score. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. I mean, that's exactly how we keep score. So this year, it's been great, actually. It's been a really good time.
What I wanted to ask you, that, you know, you talked about your live scope prowess, and we all know, I mean, you obviously, the crappie guys exposed the capabilities of live scope to the bass fishing world, period. I will stand on that for the hill. I'll die on that hill. Like, the crappie guys really exposed it for what it is and what it was capable of, and then it started, you know, filtering into the bass guys and more and more and now we're all learning different ways and different things. But I know you said you've got to find them on live scope, but when you go to an event like Hartwell, which was our second event, excuse me, and there were a ton of fish on the bed, you didn't do that though, did you? You stayed with the live scope more than anything. You never caught any sight fish?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
I'd start each morning with a buzz bait, just covering water. And I'd catch all 3 days. I caught one of my good, you know, 3+ pounders on a buzz bait. And
Then
I would go live scope the rest of the day. And I was finding, it's funny because one of the best live scopers on planet Earth is Patrick Walters.
Yep.
And he is getting sick and tired of seeing this Bass Cat boat.
We are
fishing the exact same way. I mean, he's a lot better at it. Like at Watts Bar, we were hopping each other. At Hartwell, I was hopping points. He would come around me and I'd go around him, and we were fishing the exact same stuff. And there were schools of 30 to 60 spotted bass out there, out deep at Hartwell. And that's what we were trying to catch.
Wow. I was going to say, I rode around the I guess the final day of practice there at Watts Bar, Tanner Lyons and I went and shot a piece with Brad Knight. We were out on the lake, and I saw you guys. I saw you, and I saw Patrick from a distance in practice. Y'all were in the same areas, and I was like, interested, because those guys are committed to that game for sure. So looking ahead to Saginaw Bay, I know you said you like to fish tournaments to, you know, get to go to new bodies of water. And that's always my favorite, man, traveling, going to new towns, meeting new folks. But with a place like Saginaw that's so daunting, like, what did you get? I know you're a very busy man, so did you get to pre-fish at all, or are you going up there just fresh and going to take the 3 days of practice and just try to figure it out?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing every tournament. I don't ever go pre-practice ever. I just take those 3 days. Of course, I do all the research everyone else does, right? I'm stared at Google Earth enough. I'm tired of looking at it. I know when you get there. What I've learned is you have a preconceived notion of what you're going to do before you get there. And what I'm doing better of is that don't mean crap.
Yes. Right?
When you get there, you got to fish in the moment when you get there. So I'm not trying to... You know, I'm not saying to myself, I'm going to go up there and catch, you know, 20 pounds of smallmouth on a Ned rig. No, I'm going to catch them on whatever the heck I catch them on practicing in the tournament. So, John Sookup, he's helped me quite a bit, right? He's my running man, and he has a good line that says one thing we do something different in practice as anglers than what we do in the tournament. And what he means by that is, never stop practicing during the tournament.
Yes.
I've done that a lot this year. Like at Watts Bar the last day, I caught all my fish, and I only had four keepers, and there's 2 hours left. I just went and found brand new stumps out in the middle of the lake at Watts Bar and caught three more fish off of them. So don't settle. Put me on your practice. Don't settle. Keep practicing even during the tournament. 3 days of tournament bass fishing is a lot.
Yes, it is. Following three consecutive practice days of boats running around and long days. I mean, and we all say, I've had, you know, guys like Greg Hackney on here talk about the spinning rod game and how you better adapt to finesse fishing in multi-day tournaments. And dude, with the MPFL, the thing I see the most is, first of all, our weights don't drop very much. Like they, you know, cut weights in tournaments tend to drop, check weights, but ours tend to stay consistent, and it blows my mind, to be honest. But we've got that all the anglers fish all 3 days thing going on, and man, by about lunch on that third day, you see it take its toll. You really do.
Oh, absolutely.
Because everybody's getting more and more dialed in, or getting more and more crowded, or whatever the case is. You see those lakes change.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this year for me, I'm a crappie fisherman by trade, right? Just switching over this thing. And you would think I'm a spinning rod expert, and I love a spinning rod. And the first three events, I have not touched a spinning rod. And that sounds bizarre, right? So at Cumberland was all jerkbait. I caught all my fish on jerkbait, and I caught them all on a jerkbait and a buzzbait at Hartwell. And then at Watts Bar, I caught them on a big flipping stick and a 10-inch worm on the existing stumps out in the middle of the lake. So I haven't I know I've got five of them rigged up right here. My boat's loaded up, and I'm leaving as soon as we're done. So I know that's going to change this coming week for sure.
Oh yeah, there's going to be some drag singing, spinning rod, spinning rod and going on at Saginaw Bay. I circled this one on my calendar when the season, you know, our schedule got announced. This is the one I'm looking forward to calling the most. I feel like it's going to be the most fun event for you guys. Hartwell will be hard to beat. There were a ton of fish caught. Everybody had a great time. Sure. Man, I feel like Saginaw Bay is going to treat you guys good. Fingers crossed for no wind, but I know there are largemouth there. Will you get distracted by that at all? Or are you going, hey, I'm using these electronics, I'm going to get out here, and I'm going to find brown bass magic? Like, is that your sole goal going in?
That's my whole plan. My whole plan is to never look at that grass and never look at that shoreline. I'm out here in my shop right now doing the finishing touches. I just put two drift socks in the back of my truck.
Yeah.
I know how to use my paddles and my drift socks. I did that crappie fishing. I hope I don't have to. The only way I will go chase a largemouth is if those waves are coming up in front of my boat and I can't fish. That'll be it. But other than that, I will be out in the – it's going to be one on smallmouth. I mean, that's just – it just will be, right?
Yeah, most likely. You would think.
It looks like this body of water, this Saginaw Bay, the bay itself and all the fingers that connect it might be – one of the best kept secrets in fishing,
For sure.
I think it might, you know, it could be a top 10 fisher in the United States with largemouth and smallmouth.
For sure.
I think it's going to be the highest weight we've ever had to get a check is what I'm predicting.
Yeah, sure. I would say so. You know, Wright Patman, I think right now is our highest. I think it was a little over 15 pounds a day for 3 days, which is crazy to wrap your head around, right, to be honest, for
crazy.
A 3 day total.
Yeah,
but I think, especially for a small body of water like that, and we were fortunate, had a great event there last year. But I think you're right. I think this one is going to be, even, you know, all those northern tournaments that I fished over the years, even if you take a butt kick and most of the time you have a good time, you're mad when you leave the weigh in, but you have a great time during the day, and your 14 pounds might not be as good as the 15 and a half pace or whatever, you know.
Right.
I caught 15 and a half the first day at Champlain my rookie year, and my wife texted me and said, congratulations, you're in a 90 way tie for 40th.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it was just, yeah, you know, right. you get in and I caught like 100 that day, and I was on cloud nine, and you roll in, you're like, I mean, I know this is not good enough for anything, but you're so close yet so far away. So, but you still have fun, even though you're mad competitively. You're like, this is not where I needed to be. But you guys will have a great time, man. I pray the weather holds out and we can experience this place to its fullest, to say the least. So I wanted to ask you, I read on your website, this is cool to me because I'm in a very similar situation in life, but you've got 7 kids, and you say combined, and that's what we say here at the Duncan House. I have 5 combined, the Brady Bunch around here. But I understand why you fish so much, though. To say the very least, I get it, dude. I get it. People are like, dude, Luke, you stay so busy. You got TH Marine. You got the MPFL.
Right.
You fish. You do this. And I'm like, you ever been around those kids?
Yeah,
I got 5 kids. You ever been at my house on a Saturday?
Right. I mean, last weekend there was 5 girls under 12 years old in my house. I left. I couldn't.
You're like, yeah, honey, I'm going to go wash the boat again. Yep, again.
Right.
Again.
Yeah, I went and gotten a BFL just to get out of my home, like just to get out of the house. So yeah, it's a lot, and none of that credit goes to me, it all goes to my wife.
That's exactly the same thing here at the house, man. But
yeah,
the age range,
I'm worthless.
You guys have
from 29 to 12.
Okay, that's so. My youngest is 11, Rider Man, and then Harper turns 21 in about 2 weeks. So we're right there too. And that is, I think, is something that's taken for granted by people that just kind of look and go, oh, you got 5 kids. Or the age range thing is tricky. For so many reasons. You got kids going through different stages of life at the same time. And man, it's a balancing act at times. It really, really is.
It's a lot.
Yes, it is.
Like, I mean, I got a 29 and 24 year old and a 22. I'm like, oh, they're adults. They don't need me anymore. They're ridiculous. You know, they need me more now than they did when they were little. Like, dad, bring your cordless drill over and hang this mirror for me.
Yeah,
and it's
nonstop,
right?
So, for sure.
Yeah. They're still your kids, and they're never not going to be, and they'll always need you.
And as we get older, though, I feel like, you know, we worry that our kids might not need us as much, but they always need you, man. You always need your folks around or want them around. And because we've been going through milestones. Harper graduated college. My stepson Charlie graduated high school this year. I got Hudson, went from 8th grade, he's going to be a freshman. It's just, there's a lot going on here at the house, and it's like, it's a lot, but you get upset at times about it. Then you realize, you know what, this is, it's all good. You do the best you can do. And certainly, like you said, a credit to your wife and to mine, because they keep it all on the tracks while everything else is going on.
And besides my crazy fishing, I have an amazing career.
That's what I was going to ask you.
So 31 years ago, I started as a carpenter. I was an actual carpenter. I had some scholarship offers to play football in college, and I went to summer camp, and I went, holy moly. Yeah, I'm not as fast as I thought I was. Right? Just because you're the fastest kid at your little country school don't mean you're going to go play college football. So I went to didn't even go to college, never made a class. And I joined up with this company in Kansas City, Missouri here, with a healthcare contractor, actually doing health hospital work. And 31 years ago, now I own that company that I started with. Yeah. So it's a lot.
You do have a full plate, buddy.
Yeah. I got 189 employees.
Holy cow. So it's that big. And I, yeah, well, and the reason I say that, I've seen you post some pictures from your office there and things, and I didn't know that. I mean, that's a lot in itself to manage.
So the fishing for me is an escape from that world, because that world is nonstop, you know, a grind. It just is. So I take a lot of pride in that company. And last year, the employees voted our company top 10 best places to work in Kansas City, which is huge for me. So it's a cool environment. A lot of guys are listening. Most fishermen, a lot of the fishing world is in the construction industry. It's thankless. It's tough. It's grinding. But
it's work. It's real work.
It is real work.
Yes, it's
so,
real work.
Yeah. I can't say that I'm not living the American dream for a kid that never went to college, not one hour, and now I get to own this, you know, a company that does $200 million worth of construction a year. I'm living the American dream. I can't, right now in my life, I couldn't be any happier. It's a good time. You know, it's the best time of your life when you get older. I tell these young kids at work this, so it gets better. Your life gets better.
It does get better, yes.
But your body falls apart. So you just...
Yeah, by the time you get to enjoy it, you get to enjoy it, you're basically in a wheelchair. But that's what I tell my kids. I'm like, I'll get to enjoy all this crap one of these days, but I won't be able to walk, so it'll be great.
Right.
But man, I think that... That's the cool thing to me with MPFL. And look, I harp on MPFL because obviously it's a league I'm heavily involved in, and I love it. But we have a lot of cool stories there. But I'll say the way they space out tournaments probably sets up better for a guy like you, you know,
absolutely,
with your business, with that gap in between. I've loved that about the trail. And I say that, you know, but the same thing goes for the Bassmaster Elite Series, not as far as the schedule, but anglers. Like, those guys aren't fishing every single day. Like, a lot of them have things going on in life, own businesses, have to come home and work. There's a very small percentage of people. That's the biggest misconception in pro bass fishing, is that every guy you see with a jersey and a truck and boat wrap is 1,000% making his living from catching bass. And that's just, it's impossible. It just really is in this day and time. So I love hearing the success story, man, the business, and that you still have that drive. It's what I said at the first of the interview. Dude, you could just go, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Right. I'm going to just hang out right here, see these kids. But you're like, I'm going to get better at this, and I'm gonna figure this deal out. Man, you're second place in the Angler of the Year behind Timmy Reams. And I'm just going to tell you, Kevin, I don't know how well you know Timmy. He is a quiet guy.
He is a hammer. He wakes up with 13 pounds.
He does. He does indeed. And I got to get Timmy on here as well. I was texting with him the other day. He's quietly this year, and last year too. Look, I feel like we covered him. We said his name so many times last year on live, and had him on live so many times. And I looked at Fat Cat after Watts Bar, and I said, dude, like, Timmy's... Like, we haven't had him on camera this year, but like one time, I'm like, dude, he's doing it. he's having that year. And so hopefully this race will just continue between you guys after Saginaw for sure.
Yeah, fishing is the thing you learn. And Mr. Smith, Bryant Smith.
Yes, that's another one you better watch. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. He was actually my pick for AOI this year after watching last year. I said he's going to be – he gets a little bit more of that East Coast experience under his belt. He's going to be tough. And he is. Well, it's third place right now, I believe. He's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to stumble.
No.
I mean – Cumberland threw everybody for a curveball. I felt great about it. I loved it. Everyone, you know, was hem hawing and crying. I'm like, I love the cold.
You're used to it, yeah.
Guys, yeah, when they went out that morning, they were beat at Cumberland.
They were done.
I'm like, let's go. This is so I got lucky. I was catching smallmouth on that jerk bait. Those fish with that flooded water went right to the bank. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the bank. And I couldn't believe it. I think they might do that there all the time. So that's what I'm learning about these lakes. I don't know the lakes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the pattern is every year for the last 20 years on Hartwell. I just don't. So I'm learning
just do your thing
as I go. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know what you don't know. And that's amazing. I mean, it's,
absolutely.
Look, man, we see it. Think about a guy like Keith Carson. He makes his deal work everywhere he goes. John Cox makes his deal work everywhere he goes. You're doing the same, man. And I wish you the best of luck at Saginaw Bay. I can't thank you enough for joining us. It's been awesome.
Man, I appreciate you having me, and I look forward to seeing you at one of these events.
Hey, man, I hope that we're getting to talk a lot more later this week, buddy.
Absolutely.
All right, Kevin Rogers, everybody. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
The man, Kevin Rogers, the crappie king, we call him over there at MPFL. But I hope you enjoyed that. He is – go look Kevin up. Go look Kevin's YouTube stuff up. Go look his social media up. The guy is a fantastic teacher. He – if you're interested in anything crappie, the guy wrote the book on it. I mean, seriously, him and his dad – so much success in that crappie world, but very cool. Appreciate him joining us here. And I'd like to, you know, say you guys need to watch MPFL this week. If you don't have anything going on, watch us. We're going to be on live Thursday and Friday, tnpfl.com. Me, the big cat, we'll have James Watson out there on the lake at Saginaw Bay, bouncing in the waves. I hope he brings his helmet and his crayons this time. He left them at home last time. But we kick off, I believe, 8 a.m., Eastern time on Thursday morning, but heading into that 4th of July holiday. So we're fishing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we will have a finale Friday instead of a showdown Saturday. 115 boats. Somebody's going to win 50 grand. They're going to pay about 35 places. So tune in, check it out. I can promise you they're going to be a lot of hook sets. If you like fish catches, this event, barring some insanity weather that really gums up the works, I promise you, this event, they're going to be some fish catching going on. So really looking forward to calling this one. Saginaw Bay, MPFL stop number 4. Thanks to Kevin Rogers, and thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in, hanging with me here on your Monday. I appreciate y'all. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're not already, because, it does matter. At the end of the day, it does matter. We're trying to grow things, continue to grow, and I appreciate all you loyal low-lifers. Be sure to hug your mama. I'm going to take you out today. I don't think I'm going to take you out with Biloxi Blues. Let's take you out with something else. Here, let's find something new. Let's find something. Not necessarily new. Let's take you out with Luke Duncan and Shannon Wheeler, Liars and Thieves. How about that? How about that? See y'all next week.
That the liars and